Today is Mother's Day, and I usually try to preach a message in keeping with the day. And I actually had two Mother's Day messages outlined. I had one outlined that I really like from 2 Timothy about Eunice, Timothy's mother, and how she passed on her faith that she got from her mother to her son, Timothy. And then I had another one outlined that I may preach tonight if the Lord lets me. That is about James and John's mother on that occasion that she came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I'd like my two sons to sit on your right hand and your left hand." And I was praying about which one of those to preach this morning on the way home from church or last night after the mother-daughter banquet, about 9:30, 10 o'clock. And I was just, "Okay, Lord, you gave me two of them, and which one do you want this morning?" And just before I got home, there's a little Baptist church on Hill Road there, and I always like what the pastor or whoever puts the saying on the sign. They had a new saying on the sign, and it said, "Jesus paid the price, keep the change." And God sort of said to me, "That's it." I said, "Just a second, that's not one of the choices. It's either Eunice or the mother of James and John. What do you mean, that's it?" He said, "That's the one I want you to preach." And I said, and I've learned over the past few months that it's just fruitless to argue with God. And so this morning, that's my subject. Jesus paid the price. Keep the change. And I just have 2 points this morning. Number one, Jesus paid the price. Now, that's what our scripture reading said from Isaiah chapter 53 when it says that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It said there in that chapter, "With his stripes we are healed." And then it says, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now here's what that means. I'm going to be very simple this morning because I find when God changes my message on Saturday night, that's the only way I can be, is very, very simple. Let me tell you what that means. God loves every single person in this room this morning. Every single one of you. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what kind of family you come from. I don't care what the circumstances in your life are this morning. God loves every single one of us in this room this morning. Because he does, he wants us to be with him forever and ever. I don't have time to show this scripture this morning, but the Bible clearly teaches that we were created to fellowship with God. I just want you to think about that for a second. It'll make you feel special this morning. You were made by God. You say, "Oh, just a second, preacher. I wasn't made by God. I was born." Yeah, but who do you think caused your mom and dad to have you? You were made by God just as much as Adam was made in the Garden of Eden. You were made by God just as much as Eve was made in the Garden of Eden. God overlooked your birth, and you were made by him to fellowship with him. Just think about it. The creator of the universe, the one that caused the sun to shine, and the one that hung the moon in its place, and put the stars in their place, and knows every one of their names, that God wants you and wants me to fellowship with him. I find that amazing when I think about it. I mean, the one that made everything that we see in this world wants me to fellowship with him. I mean, I'm amazed at some of the people that I can call friend. And they call me a friend. It amazes me that they've chosen me to be their friend. And sometimes I'm overwhelmed at the friendship that they extend to me. Because I'm so busy, I don't have much time to fellowship with them. And it amazes me that they still want to be friends. But I tell you what, it amazes me a whole lot more that the God who created the universe, that holds it all together, wants me as his friend. And if you think about it this morning, and think about what that means to you, that the God who holds this universe together wants you as a friend, not only now, but forever. Amen. Forever. But you see, there's a problem. And I mentioned this at the funeral service on Thursday. There's a problem, and that problem is called sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. It says in Romans 3:23 that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, if I compare myself to somebody else, I might be able to say, if I pick the right people, hey, I'm not so bad. I mean, if I choose who my yardstick is going to be, if I choose who the standard I'm going to pick myself and measure myself against, I can probably find some people that are a little bit worse off than I am, and I can say, justifiably, I'm not so bad. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't gamble. I don't do all the other things that I could find some people that do. And in my own mind, I could justify that I'm not a bad guy. But that's not who God wants us to compare ourselves to. You see, he says, I want you to compare yourself, as we read in that verse, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's who God says. Hey, I want you to compare yourself to my glory. I want you to compare yourself to the one that was tempted in all points like as you, yet without sin. I want you to compare yourself to the perfect Lamb of God. I want you to compare yourself to Jesus. And I'll tell you what, when I compare myself to the Son of God, I find that I come up way short. That verse is true about me, and I'll just be bold this morning and say that verse is true about you. You might be able to find somebody that you can compare yourself to and look at that person like you're looking at a mirror and say with justification, hey, I'm not so bad. But put that person out of your sight and put in your sight the perfect, sinless Son of God and compare yourself to him. And you'll have to say like I say this morning, I'm a sturdy, rotten, vile sinner compared to Jesus Christ. Bible says because we're sinners that the wages of that sin is death. And it's not just physical death. I know that sin sometimes hastens physical death. I know that sin sometimes brings on physical death, but that's not what the Bible's talking about when it says the wages of sin is death. What the Bible is talking about is spiritual death. When I am separated from God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, what happened? They were kicked out of the garden. I mean, before that sin, they fellowship with God. They walked and talked in the Garden of Eden. They were friends with God. They got to see God. And when they sinned, when they disobeyed God, they were expelled from the garden. There was an angel put at the entrance to that garden. And because of that sin, they died spiritually. They were separated from God. And that's what happens to us. That's the penalty for our sin. We're separated from our Creator. We're separated from the one that loves us. We're separated from the one that wants to fellowship with us, to have us as friends. And there's nothing that you and I can do to fix that problem. We can't be good enough. Coming to church, even though it's a good thing, won't change it. Getting baptized, even though it's a good thing, won't change it. Taking the Lord's Supper won't change it. Turning over a new leaf won't change it. There's nothing that I can do to fix my sin problem. There's nothing that you can do to fix your sin problem. The Bible says, not of works. What it says is there's nothing that we can do to fix our sin problem. And so, left to our own devices, the only thing that we have to do is pay the price. Be separated from God. Stand under the penalty. Be separated from God. Pay the wage that we owe for our sin. Be separated from God. But God says, wait, there's another way. I'll do something. You can't do it, but I can do it. I'll send Jesus, my only begotten Son, and he'll pay the price for your sin. Now you might ask this morning, why? Why would God, a holy, righteous God, send his Son to die in my place, to die in your place? It gets back to the very first point I made, because he loves us. He loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I told at Terry's funeral, I told folks, make it personal. Daniel, you say it like this. For God so loved Daniel that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Daniel believeth in him, Daniel shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Say John 3:16, not out loud, but in your mind. Put your name where it says whosoever. Make it personal. God loved you, and he sent his only begotten Son to die in your place so that you wouldn't have to pay the wages of sin, but you could have everlasting life. And so that's exactly what God did. Jesus came. He lived among men for 33 some years. And at the end of that time, at the time appointed by God, God took every one of our sins, every one of our iniquities, every one of our transgressions, and he laid them on Jesus. And when Jesus went to Calvary's cross and hung there and died, he was paying the price for every single one of my sins, and he was paying the price for every single one of your sins. And here was the price. It was a horrible price. It was a terrible price. And I know many of you have seen the movie, The Passion of Christ, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. The movie does not do justice to the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. Yeah, maybe it does a pretty good job of the physical suffering that he suffered on the cross. But that wasn't the worst part. That wasn't the worst thing that happened to him on that day a long time ago. You see, the worst part of the crucifixion, the price that was paid for our sin, was not the physical beating. It wasn't the crown of thorns. It wasn't the soldiers pulling his beard out of his face. It wasn't that cat of nine tails that they whipped him with. It wasn't all the mocking. It wasn't the shame as he hung naked. That's not what paid the price for our sin. That's what went along with it. But that's not what paid the price for our sin. The price that was paid for our sin was him being separated from his Father. Because you see, for all eternity, God the Father and God the Son were together. I mean, before the world was created, they were together looking at each other face to face. As the world was being created, they did it together. That's why in Genesis it says, when they got to create man, let us make man in our image. They were together. They were face to face. The Son of God and God the Father together, fellowshipping together. In the book of Exodus, when Moses was leading God's people to the promised land, he went to God one time. He said, God, I just want to see your face. I just want to see you. I just want to see the one who I'm serving. I just want to see the one whose people I'm leading. Oh, God, could I see your face? And God said to Moses, no man can see it and live. I'll take you and I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll put my hand on you and I'll make my backside pass before you. But you can't see. No man can see the face of God. But the Son of God did. Jesus did. For all eternity past, he sat before the face of God. When he was here on earth, he said to his disciples and those that would listen, you want to know God? I can tell you about him because I know him. No man hath seen the Father but the Son. I can tell you about God because I've seen him face to face. I've been in his presence. We've been together. Oh, the sweet fellowship that we've had as Father and Son. But on Calvary, when Jesus paid the price for our sin, when he went to the cross, and when God put all of our sins on him, and the Bible says he became sin for us, something happened that day that never happened before in all eternity. Something happened that day that will never happen again in all eternity. A holy, righteous God saw all the sin of mankind, all the vile, wicked, evil, dirty sin that man can conceive and can carry out. He saw all that sin heaped upon his son. I mean, this was his only begotten son. This was his son who he said on many occasions, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." This is his son who for all eternity they've been together face to face looking at each other. But on that day on Calvary when Jesus bore all our sin, our holy righteous God looked at that sin and said, "I can't look at it. I can't see it." And for the first time in all eternity, in punishment for our sin, the price of our sin, God the Father turned his back on God the Son. And they were separated. The eternal fellowship that they had was broken. Why? Because of my sin. And because of your sin. That's the price that was paid for our sin on Calvary. It wasn't the beatings. It wasn't the physical abuse. It was God the Son being separated from God the Father. That's the price for our sin. Jesus paid the price. He paid the price. We sang that song, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe." Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid the price. Number two, keep the change. Keep the change. You see, because Jesus paid the price, I get to keep the change in my nature. God said, because Jesus paid the price, old things are passed away. All things become new. Because Jesus paid the price, I get to get rid, or I have the opportunity to get rid of the old set of my desires, the old set of my want-tos, and I have the opportunity to get a new set of desires, a new set of want-tos. Before Jesus paid the price, if you looked at the characteristics of my life, and here's how the Bible describes them: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, wrath, strife, heresies, enviness, drunkenness. But because Jesus paid the price, I have the opportunity to take on his characteristics. I have the opportunity to take on what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, gladness, faith, meekness, temperance. I couldn't have that change in nature. I couldn't rot it within myself. I couldn't be taught it. I couldn't get it unless Jesus paid the price. Because Jesus paid the price, I get to keep a change in my position. Before Jesus paid the price, I was an alien. I was a stranger. I was an enemy of God. I was an outsider, as described by the Bible, one who cared not for God nor the things of God. But because Jesus paid the price, my position changed. I now have the opportunity to be part of the family. I now have the opportunity to be a child of God. I now have the opportunity to be a joint heir of Jesus Christ. That change in position would not be possible unless Jesus paid the price. Because Jesus paid the price, I get to keep a change in destination. You see, before he paid the price, I was headed for hell. Oh, and by the way, I believe in a literal hell. I believe in a physical place called hell. And before Jesus paid the price, that's where I was headed. It's a place prepared for Satan and all his demons. It's the bottomless pit. It's a place of fire where the worm dieth not, a place of darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where you are separated from your God forever and ever and ever. Remember that story that Jesus told of the rich man and the beggar in Luke chapter 16? Rich man lived good when he was here on earth. The beggar was a beggar. The dogs came and licked his sores as he begged. They both died. The rich man went to hell. The beggar went to heaven. The rich man lifted up his eyes into hell and saw Abraham and the beggar with Abraham. And he prayed. He said, "Father Abraham, could you send this beggar and just have him dip the tip of his finger in water and come and touch the tip of my tongue?" And Abraham said, "No, there's a great gulf that separates us that no man can cross." The worst part about hell is not the fire. The worst part about hell is not the darkness. The worst part about hell is not being in a bottomless pit. It's not the fire. It's not the weeping and gnashing of teeth. The worst part about hell is being separated forever from God. From God. But because Jesus paid the price, I get to keep a change in my destination. I have the opportunity to go to heaven. I have the opportunity to go to that place where they paved the streets with gold. I have an opportunity to go to that place that Jesus is preparing now, where there's mansions for each one of his children. A place where there is no night. A place where there is no pain or tears. A place where God lives. A place where Jesus lives. A place where Terry is this morning. A place, Pam, where your dad is this morning. Because they both did what I'm going to ask you to do in just a minute if you've never done it before. I get to go to that place called heaven because Jesus paid the price. Because Jesus did pay the price, he offers to every single person here this change. A change in your nature. A change in your position. A change in your destination. Not because we deserve it. It comes back to the one fact that I started with. Because he loves us. And because he loves us, he freely offers this change or these changes to every single person here. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. But, sometimes I'm going to preach on that one word, but, this but right here in this verse. But, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he makes that gift available to every single person that's here this morning. You say, "Preacher, how do I get it?" Very simple, you take it. Just like any other gift, you take it. Okay, how do I take it? Tells us, the Bible tells us, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Let me tell you what that means real quickly, and I'm done. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. In my heart, in my mind, however you want to say it, I acknowledge to God, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. When I compare myself to the perfect Son of God, I come up way short. I'm a sinner. And I acknowledge to God that there's a penalty for that sin. And what I'm saying is, God, you have the right to punish sin. You have the absolute right as the creator and sustainer of the universe to punish sin. God, I thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross. I acknowledge him as your son. I acknowledge him as the payment for my sin. So with my heart, I believe unto righteousness. And it says, with my mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Here's what that means. Hey, God, I want it. I take it. You're offering that gift of salvation to every single person. You're offering that gift of salvation to every sinner. Hey, God, here's one sinner that wants it. I'll take it. I'll take it freely. I'll take it gladly. I'll take it as my only hope to get the change that you talked about. I take him. And the Bible says, to as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now this morning, let me ask you, have you taken the gift? Have you, and again, I don't know how any simpler to make it. Have you said to God, "I am a sinner. You have the right to punish sin. I believe you sent Jesus to pay the price of my sin, and I want him. I want him." Has there been a time in your life when you've done that? If not, I'd invite you to do it this morning. I don't know of a better way to honor our mothers on Mother's Day than for somebody to say, "I've never done that, and this morning, I'll acknowledge I'm a sinner. I'll acknowledge that God has the right to punish sin. I'll acknowledge that Jesus is God's Son and He came to pay the price for my sin. And I'll say this morning, by faith, I want Him. I want Him. If you'll do that this morning, because Jesus paid the price, you'll get to keep the change. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you for loving us so much that you made a way when we couldn't make one. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross, paying the price for our sin. And I pray this morning, Father, for every person here that's never received Jesus, I pray today they would make that choice. That with the faith of a little child, that they would just say, I believe the Bible, and I believe that Jesus is your Son. And this morning, I want Him for myself. I'm not depending on anything else. I'm depending on Jesus and what He did for me on Calvary. And I pray, Father, every young man, every young lady, every adult, every single person in this room would look at their heart, look at their life. And if there's never been a time when they've done that, they'll do it this morning. I pray for the Christians that are here. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. If there's something in our lives that shouldn't be there, if there's something we need to do, that I pray that you make your will clear to us and we'd be obedient in doing it. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to bring honor and glory to your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.